Amen. Amen. I want to thank everybody for coming to being with us this evening. I know with all this heat, it's just as easy to stay in the house. Very hot. Be glad when this is a little mini heat wave, whatever you want to call it, is over. I think we got a little bit of rain coming, I think tomorrow evening, I think, Lord willing. And then we're supposed to get a little bit of break from the heat. Looking forward to the break of the heat. I'll be honest with you, I don't deal well when it's 100 degrees. I ain't going to lie to you about that. You know, cut grass, cut weeds today, and it was miserable. But anyway, we want to thank you for being with us. But the point of these is what we're going to do this upward until, you know, Lord willing, toward Labor Day. Different topics. But I felt led of the Lord to do it this way because when I was a younger Christian, a youngin', I'll say it this way, when I was a youngin', I can honestly say that we learned a lot from our elders, okay? Not just by what they said, but by what they done, by watching them, okay? And what I mean by that is this, I truly believe that worship is the first level of spiritual growth. I absolutely believe that. And the reason I believe that is when you first get saved, you don't have Bible knowledge. Most people don't. You don't have any confidence in a lot of ways to be an effective witness because you really don't, you lack knowledge in a lot of ways and things of that nature. But one thing you can do is worship and praise the Lord. And, you know, when you're a babe in Christ, that is very important, okay? But I'm going to tell you what it also does. It begins to create that relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can form an intimacy that begins to happen between you and the Lord. I think one of the biggest hang-ups in the Christian world in this country is this, plain and simple. If I told you that I don't believe everybody that goes to church is going to heaven, would that shock you? Probably not. But I'll tell you this, everybody that's in relationship with Jesus is going to heaven. So there's a big difference in going to church and being in relationship. Does that make sense? I remember when me and Tara first started dating, I've probably told this story before, we first start dating, as most of you probably know what I'm talking about, you have those same experiences, but this was back in the time when there wasn't cell phones. There wasn't no text messages. You had the one phone line in the house and a busy signal, okay? So if you was on the phone for a certain amount of time, no call could get through, okay? Yeah, a little bit. Older. But, party lines, there you go. But I can remember, Tara, you know, her dad had limitations on how we could date. I could only go up so many times a week and things of that nature, or so long and stuff like that. But on Saturday was one day that we chose because Saturday was an opportunity, Lindsay, where you could spend more time, okay? And if it was this time of year or pretty weather or whatever, we may go to the park earlier in the day and then I'd take her to a movie and then you maybe get something to eat, obviously, and stuff like that. So you spent more time with her on Saturday than other times. But the thing about it is, I remember spending all day with her and the evening and then get home and call her on the phone. And what we talked about to this day, I ain't real sure that we could talk that much. But the point being is, why did I do that? Because I was falling in love. You wanted to spend as much time and talk to the person that you were falling in love with. Amen? That's what I want us as Christians, especially if you're here and you're a younger Christian, is for you to understand it's not about just coming to church, but it's about falling in love with Jesus. And I wasn't made to spend time with her, Vicky. I wanted to spend time with her. And so we shouldn't be made to worship. We should want to worship. So when that's what we're going to start out with, that topic specifically is worship. We'll get into the word and we'll get into witnessing and stuff like that. But I believe it's important that we as a church, because Sometimes we get away from the fundamentals, Joe. And I'm going to be honest with you. In my opinion, when it comes to sports, when it comes to football specifically, fundamentals still win. Fundamentals still win, okay? So it's important that each of us, and what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you to share. I'm going to ask you to share some of your experiences when it comes to worship, when it comes to praise, and things like that with other people here. And in other words, as I brought up the older people that I watched growing up, you watched them when you first got saved. You watched them worship. You didn't really know much about it, but you watched them do it. And you began to realize that was what I was supposed to be doing. And you began to fall in love with Jesus. And guess what? When you fall in love with Jesus, you realize He's worth worshiping. Okay? And we're going to talk about that tonight specifically, because I think there's a lot of people that's here tonight even that don't that maybe struggle with just letting go and worshiping the Lord, and allowing themselves to fall into His arms and let Him love on you as you worship Him, okay? There's a great thing about worship. It's not just a one-way street. Every time I have found, every time that I worship Him, Star, He loves on me. That's the thing about it. Even though He's worthy, Lindsay, to be worshiped, and we should worship Him. But the good thing about it is, as we lift Him up, He lifts us up. That's how good He is. That's how much He loves us and stuff like that. So, but I want to remind everybody, if you want to comment, and I'm really hoping we comment more now than we ever have, because not everybody knows the book of Revelation, but everybody's got a worship experience. Amen? Everybody's got a worship experience. So if you've got something you want to share, just raise your hand, get your microphone, and be ready to go. Pastor, do you have something?
Well, you said comment, so...
Yes.
One thing that struck me there that you were talking about, like watching other people mm-hmm. worship, and I don't know why I think about him when people think about worship and watching other Christians, and it's Jeremiah. And people don't realize, I think, maybe they understand that he's a prophet, and if you remember, God called him when he was young, and he said, no, you know, that's not me or whatever. And the Lord told him to go, and he'd put his word in his mouth and all that. But Jeremiah was a priest. He was in the priest line. And so I think he was used to watching and even doing. But then when God started speaking and telling him specifically what to do, there was hesitation there of, you know what I mean? Like, So... I believe we should watch others worship, especially when we're first born again.
Absolutely.
And learn how to do it. But there's also a time where you can get almost comfortable in just falling into watching everybody else and even falling in yourself and doing it and not really hearing. There'll be a point where you start growing and you'll start hearing the Lord move on you, maybe when He's not moving on other people.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point, is when you start growing, I remember one Wednesday night at Bruno Church of God, like after I hadn't been saved long, and I was still, you know, just really excited about the Lord. I'd worked all day and was tired too, you know what I mean? And Wednesdays was Wednesdays, you know what I mean? They taught a little bit or preached a little bit and sung. And I remember when they was singing, man, I was getting happy. You know what I mean? I was like, and I was bouncing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I looked around, and I used to love to run. And I thought, man, I'm getting ready to take a running spell here, probably the way I was feeling. And I looked around, and the enemy said, you know what I mean? Like, nobody else is feeling what you're feeling. That's you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I sat there a second, and I thought, who cares if it's me or not? You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna run for the Lord.
Yes.
And, man, I was just happy. I got up, started running. And as I was running, people were just watching me. Like, they went and, you know what I mean, feeling what I was feeling. And even while I was running, like, the enemy was saying, it's just you or whatever. And after I quit running, I testified and I said, you know, and I told them what was going on. I said, and I'll be honest with you, whether y'all feel it or not, like, I'm worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
And you can worship with me or not or whatever.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Like,
amen.
And that's what I mean, like that Jeremiah transition to where you stop just following what everybody else is doing. You know, and we've probably all been in those churches or been around them where you don't shout until grandma or whatever shouts. Or, you know what I mean? Like, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that person sort of indicates that the spirit, right. You know what I mean? Like, well, when they start shouting, then the spirit is here. You know what I mean? So that, like, everybody waits on one person to start. But that transition, that Jeremiah, you're going to go from just watching and doing and falling in with everybody else to where God's going to start speaking to you to do those things.
Amen. So. And just remember, grab those microphones because I'm going to throw something out at you. As Pastor says that, it really brought something to my mind that I remember growing up. And I have been in several churches that I think along the lines of what Pastor's saying there. So this is a question I pose to you right now. Do you wait for the Spirit to move you to worship? Are you waiting on the Spirit of God to literally have an upper room moment before you praise Him? Do you do that? Have you been guilty of that? I've seen it in many churches. Matter of fact, when I was younger, not everybody, because I believe people that have those intimate worship experiences, I believe that Vicky, they can go at a bat of an eye. They could be on the streets of man, and I knew plenty of old saints like that. They could be in pickpack just talking about Jesus. Man, they start shouting and everything. You know what I mean? I remember that very well. That was people that had a relationship with God is what it was, and they loved the presence of the Lord.
The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Like, there's no invitation there or no waiting period. Like, I've never understood. I can't stand. And me and Kelly was talking about it Sunday evening. And we were talking about the worship here. And something was said. And she said, you know, it wasn't always like that. And I said, I know. And I thought back, and it was a week or so ago. And I can't remember who led service. But, like, usually we'll say stand. But for whatever reason, that week they forgot or didn't say it or whatever. But everybody stood and started worshiping the Lord. And I said, I remember a time when, like, that was a struggle. Like, we fought to get people on their feet to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But now it's sort of like an automatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reason our services are the way they are, is for years we worked on the fact that when you're here, you don't have to wait on something or someone. You worship the Lord because He saved you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to, again, you know what I mean? Like, have the hair standing up on the back of your neck to stand, you know, to worship the Lord. You worship, I mean, you should worship whether you feel
Amen.
Like it or feel anything or not. Yeah. You know what I mean?
To me.
Right, who He is.
And I'm asking anybody to chime in there. Why do you think we do that? Why do we sometimes wait? In other words, my point is this. Has worship become an emotion to you? Think about it. Can you worship when it ain't your song playing? Does it have to be your song style? Does it have to be contemporary? Does it have to be Southern gospel? Does it have to be red back hymnals? Does it have to be a certain type of worship for you to worship? Has worship become an emotion to you? Or is He worthy of the worship anyway? Because from what I read in Scripture, He's worthy of it anyway. If we fail to do so, the Bible said the rocks will cry out. So if we are wanting to grow individually, and that's the reason I think I feel led to do worship first, praise and worship, and I think there's a difference in praise and worship, and we'll get into that. But if we're not willing to let ourselves go and worship Him, He's worthy to be praised on good days and bad days. Okay, so how can I let my circumstances dictate my worship? Now, I know it can affect us. I understand that. But you know what I have found? On my bad days, He loves on me a little bit more. If I'll just lift His name up and praise Him, Pastor, He'll hug on me, He'll love on me, and I tell you what, it seems like that bad day turns into a good day pretty quick.
You know, you mentioned emotion, and there's one thing I've found with church in general over the years and when it comes to worship, because I've seen, and not necessarily here, but places and online or whatever, what I deem, maybe I'm wrong, but like I've seen emotion. I've seen it here, to be honest with you, not often. But I've seen emotion without worship, but I've never seen worship without emotion.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Like you can have emotion and not have worship, but I just don't know that you can have worship without some kind of emotion,
mm-hmm.
like moving you. That's what true worship is. So
I had a guy say one time, he said, you know, brother, said, I've never seen in the scripture to where Jesus ever shouted. That's fair. But you know what I have seen? The people that he touched sure did. So to me, as what you're saying, if you have a true collision with Jesus, if you're willing to have a true collision with Jesus, you'll have a true collision with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay? The Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. Mm-hmm. Okay? That means he literally comes in and sits down with us. Mm-hmm. So when we gather, we're gathered here today. Where two or three are gathered in his name, where is he at? He's in the midst. And when we begin to praise and worship and lift up his name, guess what? It means he literally comes in and sits down and inhabits our praises. Now, guess what? That's big, folks. You realize whatever you're going through, now Jesus is sitting beside of you. He's inhabiting this building. He's inhabiting every single one of those. Is he not worthy of praise? My hope as we, you know, as we leave here this evening, if you're struggling a little bit with worship or maybe you're in a spot that you just feel low in the Lord, whatever it is, that you can begin to realize, you know what? I don't care what anybody around me thinks. I'm going to worship. Has anybody ever here ever went through a situation, maybe spiritually growing up, maybe you had, you know, maybe it's some of it might be how you was raised. Some of it might be churches that you've went to, what you was exposed to when you was little, but it's only quiet worship. And then when you come here, it's a little bit different for you. Has anybody here ever experienced the difference there? Would you like to share anything? Would you like to share anything? Just turn your mic on.
I'm always the one that holds my hand up for these, right? But, of course, everybody knows I was raised Baptist, so it was always, yes, it's on. But everybody knows I was raised Baptist, so it was always quiet.
Uh-huh.
It was always decency and order, so
yeah. You
didn't stand up unless you were told everybody to stand up for a certain thing or whatever, but mm-hmm. you didn't. Even when later I was back over there and I felt led to raise my hands during a song,
sure. And
it was like almost like, oh, do I do this or not? Well, I did it.
Yeah.
But it is so, I don't know the word, but you're taught that everything is in decency and order, and you don't do, there's a certain way to praise, and that praise mm-hmm. there is you sing,
uh-huh.
you're giving your praise in your song,
uh-huh.
And things like that. It's not, and if you're going to shout, there's a certain time to shout. You don't interrupt the preacher. You don't do, you know.
Uh-huh.
So
I believe in decency and order, but, you know, in the Scripture, in the New Testament, there's five different Greek words for servant there. So, like, when you read servant, it's not the same servant every time. And two of the biggest contrasts in that, one servant is sort of what you were talking about. One servant was there, and all they done was move when somebody told them to. And, like, I think we got plenty of churches and churches that are full of, right, stand up, praise the Lord, sit down, give the offering, you know what I mean? Do this, do that, you know what I mean? But then there's another servant that served out of, like they had been there and the master was good to them and they loved the master back, and it was a willing servant. And they didn't have to be told what to do. They just done what needed to be done. And I think that's sort of what you're talking about there. Is I don't want a church full of stand up, all right, sit down, I'll do this, do that. Like I said, when somebody, you know, when we didn't ask everybody to stand, they stood. Or if you ever notice, when we go out to other churches or whatever, and even here we do it, but it's our custom, even when we go out to other churches and stuff, when the scripture's read, our people stand up. Like nobody tells them to, they just learn to do that. I think that kind of stuff is the difference in being told what to do every move you make and not, you know, your growth in the Lord.
Sure. I think also on one end of the spectrum too is not everybody's worship is the same. You know what I mean? And so, you know, come again?
Even within our faith, it's not always the same.
Absolutely. Even within ourselves, it's not always the same. You don't, there's been times I've worshiped in thanksgiving. There's been times I've worshiped in grief. Neither the two are going to look the same. Amen? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Alabaster jar.
Uh-huh.
Her worship was not loud. Her worship was not anything else but on her knees.
Mm-hmm.
Giving Jesus her best.
Amen.
And sometimes it's not the loudest person in the room.
Yeah.
It's the one who's obedient.
Amen.
It's the one who's obedient to his voice. It's the one who's listening. It's the one who's wanting his will more than their own will.
Amen.
Who's giving thanksgiving, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she was doing.
Yes.
She was pouring out her best.
Yes.
She'd give him her best.
Yes.
And that's what we should do.
Yes.
And it ain't always the loudest thing in the room.
Uh-huh.
But it's the most obedient.
Yes. Worship to me is not about, it's not about how, but it's why.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean with what you're talking about. Why you do it is you're motivated to do it, and you ain't told to do it, but you do it. It doesn't matter if you cry with everything you got.
That's right.
If you run with everything you got. If you raise your hand, raise it as high as you can. I don't care how you do it, but whatever you do, do it with everything you got.
That's right.
And don't have to, you shouldn't have to be told to do those things.
Mm-hmm. And to me, the woman with the alabaster box, let me say this. Is it safe to say your worship don't have to be the loudest? You don't have to run. You don't have to cry. But you do have to be sincere. If you're not sincere, is it worship? So that's the key. It's sincere. When in Scripture, when they would offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, they had to offer him their best. One of the reasons that the Jews got in trouble with the temple with Jesus, when Jesus' time come, is they were making sacrifices, one-eyed pigeons and everything else. They were giving him the leftovers. So my question to you is, if you're not worshiping with everything in you, are you giving him your best? Or are you giving him your leftovers? Brother Joe?
Well, I was just going to say, when I was first saved, I was going to another church stuff, and that just, the worship, every now and then somebody would raise their hand or something like that. Every now and then you'd have a good service, and you just didn't do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you just like you was holding yourself. I was holding myself back. And when I come up here from the first
right.
visit that I come up here, I said, this is where I'm supposed to be. It's like I was free. You know, I don't know really how to explain that. It was just, I could just feel a difference.
Yes.
In the way that the people worship up here. You know.
A freedom?
Freedom?
You felt free?
Yeah. You know, I felt the freedom that I could just be myself, that I could open up. You know, it's like there where I was at, you know, you had a certain person that done this, a certain person done that, and something like, and nobody else done that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it was just a complete different church experience, mm-hmm. is what I would say. And, you know, I was free to worship the Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, and I think some of that might have been even my upbringing.
Yes.
You know.
I do too.
Right, because, you know, even though I had a loving family and stuff, like, we didn't tell each other a lot. We love each other.
Right.
And stuff like that. It was just, you know, it's it just really wasn't said in the household.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though we knew we loved each other, and I think a lot of that you just wasn't taught that.
Sure.
So, and here you just, I just felt like I had the freedom to open up.
Amen.
To be, and I know what it was is I was holding myself back.
Yes.
You know, even when it seemed the baptism of the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. it was me holding mm-hmm. myself back. And mm-hmm. it was one of the easiest things I ever received once I let go.
Yes.
And that's what we have to do here to worship.
Amen.
Or anywhere, you just have to let go and quit holding yourself back. Quit overthinking.
Amen.
You know, quit thinking sometimes and just let the Lord take over.
Amen.
And that would be my testimony. Just let go.
Let go and let God.
Let God.
And as you said that, I had to ask Tara to get the microphone because I know what you said very much is very similar to how she felt. When we came up to Mallory, when we first started coming here, the Lord led us. The Lord drew us here. I'll say it that. The Lord drew us here for a purpose, for a reason. And what she was hungering for and what I was hungering for, Vicki, was kind of two separate things, but they were intertwined. When I first started coming, I couldn't get enough of the Word. It was just the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And the way I say it is this. I remember growing up, I don't know why everybody in the 70s and 80s had these, but they seemed to, and they hung in our kitchen. My mom had this set that hung on the wall. It was a wooden fork and a wooden spoon. It was huge. I mean, is that tall, Lindsay? I mean, and I don't know why people had them, but they did. Everybody had a big fork and a big wooden spoon. And the way I explained it, for me, how it felt when I come here, it was like I went from eating out of a baby spoon, okay, to now I was allowed to sit down at a Thanksgiving dinner with a big wooden spoon and try to shovel as much as I could in. I couldn't get enough of it. You know what I mean? That's the, you know, that, but that was for me. But for Tara, it was the worship. The worship was something that was the initial thing that drew her here. Do you care to share, you know, how you felt free?
Yeah. Before we first started coming here, I always felt like when it came to worship, I always thought that it was something to do with my worth. Was I worthy enough to worship openly and praise Him and, you know, lift my hands in church? And I often felt like judgment and just, it just wasn't, you know, it was more about me than it was the Lord. And that my spirit always just wanted so badly for me to open up and just begin to worship God. And I failed it so much. And like he said, you know, before I fought it, and, you know, it was just to barely raise my hand was a major feat for me. That was a good service. You know what I'm saying? And now it's when we came, the very first service we came, it wasn't a thing of just the elect standing up and praising God, but the whole church was encouraged. And I've learned that praise is the least that we can do. Yeah. We think of it as such, you know, we praise the Lord. Well, listen, He said the rocks are going to do it if we don't. It's the least we can do for
Amen.
Him. Is to praise Him. And when we realize that worship isn't about us, it isn't about our song, it isn't about anything to do with us. It's all to do with Him.
Amen.
He's worthy of worship.
Amen.
And we were made to be those worshipers. And we have to realize that, yeah, we may have had a bad week. We may have had to repent. You know, we may have been through something that week. But God's still worthy of our praise. He's still worthy
Amen.
Of our worship.
Amen.
Repent and move on and give yourself to God. And the freedom that in opening that part of yourself, it is true freedom. Being able to just open yourself up and stir up the gift within you and go with worship, it's the best thing that I've ever, I guess I would say it's probably helped me grow as a Christian. Just in general, just having the openness and the freedom to speak in front of everybody right now, but just knowing that God loves us that much, that He will take somebody who feels that they are the most worthless creature on the planet, turn them around, and make them realize they're so special to who He is, to Him.
Amen.
And He doesn't. The worship doesn't go deafly to him. He hears it. Every one of us. He knows your voice, and he knows your personal worship. Amen. I would just encourage everybody just to open yourself up, to lose yourself in the Spirit, and allow that worship. Just pray for a new worshiping heart every day. Every day, pray for new worship every day. It's so good when you do that because you don't know what to expect. How what's going to happen, and. I don't know if that's what you want to mean.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Can I comment on something you said there about being open? Even like with Joe, I started to say it with Joe, and then when Tara, sort of punctuated there, I thought I'm going to speak up. Like the Bible says, those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. So I had this long conversation with the Lord one time from my truck hood, looking up in the darkness, and I had been doing a study on what truth is, like the Greek word, the origin, because if we're all honest, like, who knows? Take Christ and your biblical background out of it, what is truth? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, who says what's true and what isn't? Mm-hmm. And I was so caught up in what does, how do we determine what truth is and all that? And the fact of the matter is you can't. He is. So truth's not an object, but it's a person.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So when you worship in spirit and truth, it's really Christ who is the truth. And when you look at the origin where that comes from, it literally means to not be hidden.
Yeah.
So the truth is anything that isn't hidden or deceitful. And I think when you worship, there's nothing hidden. When you worship in spirit and truth, there's nothing hidden or deceitful about it. In other words, you know that God knows everything that you've done, mm-hmm. who you are. Like, I think that's one of the most liberating things about coming to the Lord. You know what I mean? Like, if I fly hot during the week and do something I shouldn't do, which I tell y'all all about that stuff. It doesn't bother me because I know we're all not. But like so many people think they got to hide certain things, and they and it makes them want to back into the church and be afraid to raise their hand because they're being deceitful. I think they should be taught that when you worship in spirit and truth, nothing's hidden. God knows what you've done. Like, you know what I mean? And when you raise your hands and worship him in spirit and truth, it's a liberating thing. When, like David said, search me, like you know me, but search me again and whatever. Like David didn't care. Like David knew he said, you know my how I rise and how I fall, my goings, comings. And so I think that's one of the greatest things about worship is you don't have to try to hide anything. You can't hide anything anyway. Acknowledge it, raise your hands and say, you know I ain't perfect, mm-hmm. but you still love me. I think that's part of worship and spirit and truth, and probably one of the most freeing things in the world, mm-hmm. is because if you go, like if you're in a church where only certain people worship or whatever, you're wondering why everybody else isn't worshiping. But here, that's why we like to get everybody on our feet, because we're all imperfect, but we're all worshiping.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So you look around, you go, and you may even have seen somebody fly hot at PicPac or something this past week, and they're standing and still worshiping the Lord, there's something about it goes, you know what? Almost in a sense, you know what I mean? Like, if they can worship, I can too. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth.
Amen.
It's you can come to him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
I feel like as far as worship too, like when you are the one standing up, say you are the one that flew hot, you know, and you put your, you repent, you do everything you have to do to make it right, but to have yourself go into worship openly and freely and admitting to the Lord, it's been a rough week. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. He already knows. But when we're doing that, it helps that freedom, knowing it's like the grace of God. And when he extends grace, it shows that we should extend grace. If he extends mercy, we should extend mercy. Well, if we can openly worship, knowing how ornery we maybe behaved, then we shouldn't be looking across the aisle at somebody who maybe we saw fall off the handle. You know, we should open. We should just as easily offer that same freedom for that person.
Amen.
To find their way, the way back to the Lord through Amen. Worship.
So basically, you both was using the term freedom quite a bit there. So not to sling that around loosely, okay? Because the Bible says, "Who the Son sets free, is free indeed." And Brother Joe brought up something that I thought was interesting as well about maybe it's the way I was raised, okay? That being said, I think there's a lot to that, okay? I was raised with a similar background as Teresa, but where I went, man, they shouted, they run the aisles, they went out in the spirit and everything else, okay? That was a normal to me, okay? So, but I do think that how you're raised is very, it really affects you in that way. So, as the Bible says, what would I say to that? The Bible says that he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. You brought that up, okay? So, just because someone was raised to not express emotion or whatever, then that's right. Joe might have a hard time with that because Joe was raised that way, okay? But because Joe's been born again and he has a relationship with Jesus, he taps into that newfound freedom, okay? Now, if he's going to truly worship Jesus, Vicki, Joe can't do it. The spirit that's in Joe has to do it. He must worship him in spirit and in truth. So in other words, Joe's got to realize that I might be that way, but there's something inside me that's getting stirred up, and I got to get up. I got to let go. I've got to lift my hands. I've got to pray. And to me, I think there's a lot of freedom that comes with worship. Anybody, can I get an amen? Okay, and if you've never really allowed yourself that freedom, I'm here to encourage you to do that, okay? Don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about what you might look like. And can I tell you a story? If you've read, and only if you really want to get into a big read, will you read Like a Mighty Army? Because it is a very big, long book, the story of the Church of God. But there was a terminology that was used years ago, and it's still used somewhat today, but it was used as a degrading thing. They called us holy rollers. And it was a term that would degrade you, them holy rollers. You know why they were called holy rollers? Because when they went out in the Spirit, sometimes they got happy and they rolled around. Okay, the Spirit of God hit them, and you know, sometimes Michael runs the aisles. Pastor, I've seen him run the aisles. I've took off. There's some people, then they go down, and man, they just keep a barrel rolling across the aisles. So it was a derogatory thing. But can I tell you something? Every single person that was rolling was free. And to me, those that were criticizing it, to me, it is dangerous to criticize someone else's worship. Amen. I might know. I'm not going to say you know your worship ain't my worship, mine ain't yours. That don't mean you're not worshiping. Okay, mm-hmm. but if you're going to do it with everything in you. Whether you're rolling, whether you're running, or whether you're crying, do it with everything in you, Pastor.
What are we taught to do when we're on fire?
Stop, drop, and roll.
There you go. They was on fire. You know what I mean? They stop, they drop, and they roll.
Amen. Well, let me ask this: Why do you think the adversary fights so hard to keep people from worshiping? Give that to Leah. Why does the adversary fight so hard to keep people from worshiping?
There's freedom.
Amen.
When we worship God like He tells us to, He breaks chains that Satan wants us to stay bound in. When we have that relationship with God and we freely give over to Him,
uh-huh.
It don't matter if you're at home, in your car, at work, at the church, in the grocery store, at the ball field, because we have done it at the ball field
Amen.
More than once.
Amen.
God does things.
Yes, He does.
And Satan doesn't want you free.
Amen.
He wants you bound.
Amen. So my question, since you brought that up, thank you very much, because I've never seen someone that's been freed from chains that didn't want to shout. Amen. Okay, now that being said, if you've never shouted at church, openly in front of anybody, but you have in your car, or your worship in your car or your house looks a little bit different than it does here, I challenge you to ask yourself, why? Why is that? I don't feel comfortable. Then guess what? The adversary has you chained in some way. Maybe you've not even realized it. Maybe, you know, this, it hasn't dawned on you. But it seems like when I'm here, I get my best worship. Well, that's great. It's because you feel free there. Okay? And why do I think the adversary fights us so much about worship, Pearl? What was his job? He was a worshiper. And yes, he was.
And he was in charge of that, but he wanted it.
Yes.
He didn't want to give worship anymore. That's really what he wants is worship. So if he can, and you're either in or out, like there's no middle ground. And so essentially, if you're not giving worship to the Lord, he's doing his job, because he don't want worship going to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He wants that worship. You know, he was the, in essence, I guess, sort of the choir leader.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And never mind. I won't go into all that. But I think that's why he tries to deflect that, is it's jealousy.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, the I ams in John. Well, the I will in Ezekiel. I will ascend. I will do these things. That was his objective, was he wanted to overtake, and he wanted to receive the worship that rightfully belonged to the Lord.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you another thing. One of the big reasons as well, that the devil hates you. Okay, you're made in the image of God. Okay, and you've been born again. Now you've taken on the likeness of Christ. Okay, but here's another thing. And if you was here on one of our, I think it was a Wednesday night group we had a little while back here in the spring, I brought this up. And the Bible says, Jesus says, that I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Amen? You remember that? Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Now, are you ready for this? How many of you know he was kicked out of heaven? That means he got kicked out of heaven. So can I tell you something? Going by the fact that he got kicked out of heaven, and Jesus said, I saw him fall as lightning, I don't think he was escorted kindly and nicely out. I don't. I believe he was slung out. Picked him up by the britches and slung out. Okay? Jesus said he fell as lightning, Pat. That's pretty fast. And he was thrown to the earth. Okay? Now, you know what Teddy Dean thinks? This is Teddy Dean thinks this, okay? I'm going to make that plain. Teddy Dean thinks this. I think he was thrown to the earth and he had a collision with the earth. In other words, he smashed into the ground. I believe he did. And I believe all the angels with him were thrown to the earth, okay? Turmoil was unleashed, okay? And the earth and all that stuff, dirt comes up if someone crashes into the earth with a force and power. But you know what God then does? God says, I tell you what I'll do. I'll take this dirt and I'm going to make a man. I'm going to make a man and I'm going to breathe in him and I'm going to make your replacement. Because Satan was the worship leader. But now men are called. Men and women are called to worship the Lord. So you are in essence a replacement to Satan. In other words, he was supposed to be doing what you're doing now. But he left that back. He forsook that role, and God is now wanting you to worship and wanting you to praise. Michelle, you gotta give that to her, please. My question to you, and I'm going to ask Pearl a question, okay? I'm going to get personal here, okay? But I'm going to pick Pearl here. Pearl, what is worship and praise to you?
To me.
Okay. To you. What is worship and praise? And I'm going to ask each of you to think about that. I might be passing some microphones here, but what is worship and praise to you? What is it for you?
Well, now it's everything now, and it's a progression. And so when you're young, you do feel nervous and you look around and all that. But as you grow in that relationship, you see that nothing else matters. And so for me, praise and worship is everything. It starts when I wake up. It's the first thing I do. It's all day. All evening is the last thing I do before I go to bed, because it is free. It's everything. And when you're praising and worshiping, there's no time for all the stuff of the world to bog mm-hmm. down and get in your head and distract you. If you focus on him
mm-hmm.
and you just feel that, you come into his presence.
Amen.
And there's nothing like that. You can't even describe what that's like. And so as you grow and mature and you want more of that, you'll do more of that.
Yes.
But it's like the first step thing. If you're nervous about doing it here in front of other people, if you'll take that first step.
Yes.
If you'll just start to raise your hand before you get him up, he's there.
That's right.
And you feel him. And that's so right. It's just like everything else. We just take that baby step. He's right there. And he will just grab a hold of you. And then you get to the point, and then you start dancing around in front of people all the time. There's been more than one Sunday night that I almost danced all night.
Yes.
Just all night. Yes. It was funny. I had messaged him and said I had over 13,000 steps that Sunday night because I pretty much danced and praised the Lord.
Amen.
And danced in his presence all evening. I couldn't control it. It just over, because it will overtake you.
Yes.
If you'll let it, it'll overtake you. And the feeling is, it's just, you can't. You really can't. And people will look, and when people run and when they shout and, you know, they think we're crazy or whatever, if they felt what we felt,
amen,
they would do it too.
Amen.
And you can if you want it, but it's,
yes,
do you want it?
Yeah.
Do you want that?
Do you want to surrender?
Yes. Yes.
Worship comes down to freedom, but surrender. Do you want to surrender this, I, for thy will?
Exactly.
Do you want to go to those places? Do you want to... Is he worth worshiping to you? And if you say yes, then nothing else should matter. Amen? So you know, what is worship and praise? As Pearl just said, it's entering, as we worship and praise him, okay, in spirit and in truth, okay, then we enter into a realm that's bigger than we are. Isaiah said, I beheld the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Okay? Now, that being said, if Isaiah had that moment, can I tell you something? I truly believe he was impacted by that moment. And I believe from that moment on, he was changed. So if you'll allow yourself to have that moment, I don't want to say you'll chase it all your life, but you'll sure love it, and you'll want to get there as often as you can.
So a lot of that stuff gets super deep, and some of it would almost sound like I'm maybe saying that you can attain that feeling other ways than worship. But you know, if you've ever done things or like certain music, I know, even like, because that was one thing, and maybe somebody else struggles with this, I'm going to open up about confession here. So, as I was growing up, like the music I listened to, things of that nature, and the thoughts that I had that was probably instigated by some of that music and all that, it gave me this feeling,
mm-hmm,
that made me feel good. You know what I mean? Like I could listen to that music and black out my room, and like, you know what I mean? Like I had that feeling.
Those teenage years.
Oh, yeah. And like, you know, just thoughts, you know. And when I got saved and I worshiped, I felt the same thing. But it was a sense of where that object, where I was putting that, the object being God. Like, and I think that's one of the biggest things that the enemy uses, like especially in the life of an atheist. An atheist can listen to certain music, and they get the same, if we can say that, high or whatever, like you and I get in a worship service. But it's a manufactured, the origin of that is totally false. The enemy has a fake for everything that God has for real.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying? And it'll feel the same, but if the object is not God, it's just not the same, not mm-hmm. the way that it should be. And I don't know if you've ever experienced any of that or not, but there is a place, and I'll let Ted probably explain that more than I will about the, I think it's interesting about that thing in the brain, that tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
But there, like you can experience things as a non-believer that will pacify you and satisfy you, and I think that's the origin with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like what Ted had to even mention there, like once you experience worship in the presence of God, and like Pearl had mentioned, there's nothing like it. That changes in you because you understand the object is God and He's drawing you in. And once you experience it, you want it more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the way that the drugs are. Like, it's a known thing that, like, once you do drugs for the first time, the reason you keep doing them is you're chasing that very first time that you ever done it. But you never, Tom Petty running down the dream, devil would come to me. That song is all about experiencing something your first time doing drugs, and then you can't find that anymore. And I think if you've ever been there and done that and wake up one day, you're almost like, I'm chasing something here that I can't attain. I'm not going to get that again. And I think it's the same way with God. And I guess my point is being, whether it's drugs or other types of music or whatever, those things can manufacture feelings, if you will, emotions and feelings in the flesh, if I can say it that way, to almost mimic and try to satisfy instead of getting it from the Lord. I'm not telling you that's the thing to do or that it's equal to, but I'm telling you that's out there, and that's one reason that people goes around that.
Which basically gets to what you were talking about, Dr. Michael Knight. God created something in human beings to have that. In other words, those that are chasing the fake stuff. God created a part of us to want to go into worship, want to experience Him in those ways. And when we was at camp meeting, Dr. Knight, on the morning sessions, one of the most intelligent individuals I've ever been around in my life, period. This guy, I don't know what you would call him, but I'm sure he's not a brain surgeon, but he knew the brain awful well. Every lobe and it was very amazing to see him scientifically link up together with spiritual things. And that's what he done. And one of the things that he hit on, the reason Pastor said that, is this. There's a part in the brain that they've run tests on and MRIs and more detailed things than MRIs. I can't even remember what it was. And they would do things to the individual as they was hooked up to the machine to elicit a response in the brain. In other words, and realize that when they got excited, that's this part of the brain, and that's this part of the brain, and sadness comes from this part of the brain, and this part of it, and it lights up. And so, but there was always one little part of the brain that never, ever lit up. No matter how many times they've tried it, no matter how many times that they would hook somebody up, it never, ever, ever lit up, ever. And so what they attributed that to eventually was, they called it evolutionary junk. That's what they said, because you got to keep in mind, we're talking about scientists here. They said it was just evolutionary junk. So in other words, it was just, in evolution, it's just part of the brain that's never used. So it's evolutionary junk, okay? Until they hooked up some old Pentecostal women, right? And they would begin to put on praise and worship music as they was plugged up. And they'd get happy. And they'd start speaking in tongues. And lo and behold, it lit up. That one part of the brain that had never, ever, ever, ever lit up. And the thing that he brought out that day was this. Ain't it amazing that God, in all His infinite wisdom, created Adam with that same peace, knowing that it's not going to light up until the day of Pentecost. That was the whole point of it. In other words, there's a part of our brains that light up when we worship God. Plain and simple. Okay, so we were literally created to worship. So as we worship Him, I think it's safe to say there's also a work being done in us. Amen? As Leanne said, freedom can come from that. Chains can be broken, okay? Why does the adversary not want you to do it? Because he don't want you to experience that freedom. He wants to keep those chains on you, okay? Now here's something that I'm going to have to absolutely say, because I feel led to do it, okay? As I was studying and preparing, this specific topic came to me. I know a lot of people fight with anxiety, stress and worry and fear. Okay? Stress, anxiety, worry, and fear. And see, that's what the world calls it. Okay? Now, I believe wholeheartedly that to begin to defeat an adversary, you got to first identify what the adversary is doing to you. Because, in other words, if me and Sean get in a fight in here and I don't see where he's throwing punches, I can't defend those punches. I can't defend against those punches. I have no idea. So, in other words, I got to know how he's coming against me so I can begin to defend it. And ready for this? I don't know that. I'm not that smart to figure Satan out. So I got to rely on the Holy Spirit to do that for me, Vicky. He will uncover his plan. This is why he's trying to do this, Teddy. This is why now you need to pray this. You need to pray that. I'll set up the hedge, and I need you to pray this. He does that thing, folks. Now, you ready for this? You may fight with stress. You may fight with worry. You may fight with fear. You may fight with anxiety, because I really feel led on the anxiety part. Are you ready for this? That's what the adversary says. You know what the Bible calls it? The spirit of stress, the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety. Yes, that's what the Bible calls it. So in other words, you must understand if you are fighting with anxiety, you are fighting a spirit, and it's not of God. Plain and simple. If you're fighting with fear, you're fighting a spirit that is not of God. If it's worry, if it's stress, all those things is an evil spirit. And you must understand that we are in spiritual warfare, and worship is a key part that God wants to, guess what, pull you in, let you worship, and reset your brain. Remember me mention that to you? The part of it, he'll reset you, take that worry, take that fear, take that anxiety, and reset you. Brother Joe?
Well, what I was going to say, sometimes we need help from another brother or sister or something like that. I mean, if you're a man, you need to speak to a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord led me one time to speak to Johnny Milton. And I went up there in his garage, and you can ask Eva and them there. And sometimes we'd be in there a couple of hours and talking, you know. And it's just stuff that the Lord led me and put Johnny on my mind to go up there. And once I started talking about it, he had went through the same stuff before also.
Yes.
So he was able to help me through. And a lot of times, don't be afraid to pick out someone that you can trust, a brother or sister in the Lord.
Amen.
And go and talk out your problems. Sometimes that will give you that freedom that you need.
Amen.
And I can tell you another thing you do, and some people may, and I've mentioned this before, some people may think I'm crazy, but I'd come up here at this church, turn that chair around right there. Jesus sitting right there, and me and him have talked.
Amen.
And if you come to those doors right there and you look through there, you might have thought I was crazy talking to myself. No. But I wasn't talking to myself. I was talking to the Lord. Yeah. And maybe that is crazy. And I've even done it at my house before.
Nothing wrong with that.
Sometimes just a little talk with Jesus.
Amen.
We fix those problems. But really, a brother or sister in the Lord will help you more than you think a lot of times.
Amen, brother.
And you can talk one-on-one, whereas if you're with a crowd or something, you know, you can't discuss a lot of things that's going on in your life.
Well,
so always do that, and it'll give you that freedom that you can open up. Then you can start to worship and do the things that the Lord wants you to do.
Amen. Worship. The adversary is trying to steal your worship. Why is he trying to steal your worship? Okay? Think about that. As Brother Joe just said, if there's somebody in your life, if you're having a hard time opening up with other, then go to a brother or sister that you trust in the Lord, okay? They can help you. As I was getting ready Monday morning, was that your mom's surgery Monday?
Yeah.
As I was getting ready Monday morning and listening to some preaching and praying, the Holy Spirit revealed something to me about this very topic, about a scripture that I've never applied to this topic. And that's what I want to bring up next. It's a scripture that I have used 1,000 times before. It's a scripture we'll all say amen about. Okay, I'll get ready to read it here in a minute. It comes from the book of Proverbs. And when I read the scripture, you're not going to apply it to worship. But the Lord said, why not? So as I began to dig into and pray about it and read the scripture, the Lord began to show me this don't have an expiration date. Okay, this is my word, and my word applies to all situations, all circumstances. Okay, just because you may have applied it to that don't mean that's the only application for it. Amen? So in other words, I'm going to read it to you today, Brother Dave. I went totally off on what we were going to go on, and you'll just, as you know, I often do. But there's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. You guys have read this before. You've heard it said before. You've lived your life based on it, okay? And it's this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, we've always used that scripture to not speak negative into our lives. And while that is 100% very true, in other words, if what the Bible is saying, what you speak is what you're going to feed off of. You'll eat the fruit thereof. So if you're always speaking negative, you're going to be a negative person. Okay? That's just the way it is. So in other words, whatever you're saying is going to affect how you act. Amen? If you can't believe in a healing and then speak something negative, it don't work that way, folks. It just don't work that way. But you know what the Lord said? Why doesn't that involve my worship? Why doesn't that? So in other words, when we worship Him, when we speak worship and praise, does it not apply? Every word that you say, every word that you say, speak life or death, is in the power of the tongue. Life or death. Okay? When I'm worshiping and praising Him, I'm speaking life into a situation. And now all of a sudden, I'm eating the fruit of that. I don't know about you folks, but I'd rather eat that fruit any day than anything I can offer. So my question is this: why don't we begin to realize, you know what? This goes beyond just how I'm feeling. And we need to understand that in spirit and truth needs to transfer to my lips. My lips need to praise Him. I should be offering praise and honor and adoration to Him. You know why? He died on a cross for me. He's delivered me many times. Every single time I've been down and out and thought I was done and defeated, He come along and showed me, no, this is just the beginning. I'm going to take your mess and I'm going to give you a message out of it. That's who He is. He is worthy of all praise. Whether you do it or not, He's still going to be God. Amen? But my question to you today is this: if you're one of those people that don't feel like I can speak praise, you're not eating much good fruit, folks. We should absolutely come together and praise Him. He is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. And if you wasn't here for the Revelation study or the summer prophecy, then listen, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, if you don't like to praise Him, you're going to have a hard day on day one after the rapture. Because you're not going to be able to say, Lord, is there a back room I can go to while you guys do this? Because listen, you're going to be praising Him. When the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the seals, I can only imagine, Vicky, the deafening roar of praise that's going to be going on. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to be shouting. My question is this: how many of you folks here today will allow that sweet aroma of praise to come off your lips? Because if you do it, the Bible says you'll eat the fruit thereof. We battle with stress and anxiety and fear and worry because we label that emotions. Okay? That's a spirit of fear. That's a spirit of anxiety. Okay? First, realize what it is. Now understand, if I'm going to defeat that, then I've got to have God to do it. Amen? Now, ready for this? The best thing about this is this. Any time that I get the opportunity to come into worship and praise, whether it's at this church or whether it's by myself, Brother Joe here of the morning by himself, whether it's in your car, in your prayer closet, all those things, okay? You got to learn to let go. Surrender and praise Him, because it will break chains in your life. Praise and worship is for Him, but the good thing about Him is this: when I praise and worship, guess what? He lifts me up. It's happened 1,000 times, Tommy. He is so dependable. He is so reliable. He is so loving. He is so caring. So why don't we praise Him more often? Why do we have to allow our emotions to dictate our praise? My question to you is this: if you struggle in this department, I'm going to challenge you. I'm challenging you. Yes, I'm challenging you. I'm like Rocky Balboa. I'm challenging you. I'm asking you and I'm challenging you to begin to praise Him when it's not easily done. Praise Him in the bad times as well as the good times. Guess what? Job did it, and it worked out pretty good for him. Amen? But my question, and I'm going to ask Sister Vicki. Vicki, you care to get the microphone? Somebody give Vicki a microphone. Vicki, why is he worthy to be praised? What has God done for you?
10. Yeah, everybody's going home now. Most of all, he's worthy of my praise because he died on a cross for my sins.
Amen.
That I could have life eternal. Mm-hmm. He is worthy of my praise because he's made a plan of salvation, because he's going to rapture me away one day, because he's prepared a time and something for me to do during the millennial, and then I'm going to be in heaven with him forever. If there was nothing else, he's worthy of my praise for all Amen. Of those blessings.
Amen.
He's worthy of my praise because he keeps me every day. He's Amen. Healed my body so many times, it's not even funny.
Amen.
I mean, seriously. You know, I could just say so many things about healing. I'm here today alive and talking to you because he healed my body, and you know that, of Amen. Stage 4 colon cancer. And I'm supposed to have been dead now for about 6 years. But I'm here because of the grace of God
Amen.
And his healing power.
Hallelujah.
You were talking about worshiping and praising and coming closer to him. He has, and the different things that he has for us, we worship him too because of the gifts that he left here for us, that we can have divine healing, the
yes.
gifts of healing, miracles, and all these many things. He's worthy of our praise because he did not leave us here, you know, susceptible to all these things.
Amen.
We don't have to be. He's worthy of praise because he equipped us.
Amen.
He equipped us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
With the 9 spiritual gifts, for the fruit of the Spirit. We can put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
And we can fight. Why can we fight? He's worthy to be worshipped because he goes before us. He goes beside us. He's got our back because
Hallelujah.
He fights the warfare for us. Hallelujah to the Lamb of
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
He is worthy to be praised because he is. He is the great I am. And there is nothing that we cannot conquer and go through in this life. We are victorious through the name and the power and the blood of the
Hallelujah.
Lamb. If you are defeated in any way, shape, or form, it is because you are not taking him at his word.
Come on.
You have authority over the
Hallelujah.
Spirit, the enemy. You have authority over any kind of sickness. You cannot be defeated if you stand in Jesus Christ. It's up to you, brother and sister.
Yes.
It's
Bless
up to
Lord.
You. Worship him. If you'll worship him, honey, he may slay you in the spirit, and he may do surgical, spiritual on you.
Bless her, Jesus.
To draw you closer to
Hallelujah.
Him.
Hallelujah.
So that he can get you still. So that he can come in and his Holy Spirit can speak to that mind white steel. Also, he can speak and he can sanctify and he can draw you closer to him. So that he can give you the gifts of the Spirit, whichever one that he's wanting to use mostly in you. You know, so that he can speak to you and tell you what's coming tomorrow for you. So that he can tell you how to get out of what you're in right now. You know, he's such a good and mighty God. Why would we not worship the great I am? Why would we not lift our hands and praise the one who can keep you, who will keep you, no matter what you go through in this life? I don't care if it's big, if it's small. It does not matter what it is. He's the great I am, and you are victorious through him. Why? Because he said you are. He does not lie. He is truth, Brother Walker, and he said you're more than a conqueror. You are more than victorious. You are an overcomer, and anything you need, he will deliver it for you if you will let him. Worship Him. Worship Him, and you'll find that He'll come on the wings of a dove, and He will speak to you, brother, sister. He will come in, and you'll feel His presence, and you won't have to be told to lift a hand. You won't have to be told to run around the church. You won't have to be told to say hallelujah to the great I Am. It will come bubbling up like a river. It will flow through you like river, because He is. He is alive and He is well. And if you will worship Him, you will grow in Him. You will become the person He wants you to be. You will feel His presence, and you will be on fire for Him. You will not be lukewarm, but you will be on fire for Him, and you'll want to go out, and you'll want to do for Him, and you'll be zealous for the Lord. Oh, nobody will have to tell you to worship the Lord. You'll do it from the very depths of your soul, because you'll know Him. He'll be real to you. He's real to me, Brother Ted. He's real. You don't have to tell me. I know He's real. I've lived it. I've experienced Him all of my life. I know His word is true. I worship Him. I worship Him with my lifestyle. I worship Him in obedience. Oh, I worship Him until the day I die, and then I'll worship Him there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And that is in spirit and truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to try to add anything to that. I ain't doing that. I'm going to ask Pastor Walker, and I'm going to ask Brother Dave to begin to play a little bit of music. Pastor Walker, we need to anoint some prayer cloths, but I want everybody to gather around the altar, because in MIP, when we done on worship, then guess what? We done a little bit of teaching on worship, and then we worshiped. Does that make sense to you? But we're going to pray over some prayer cloths, and we're going to do a little bit of worship, Lindsay. We're just going to realize what He's done for us and how He's worthy of worship and praise.
You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place. If not for grace, where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place. If not for grace.